Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, minister of the 12th Apostolic Secretarian Congregation of the 12th Hour in the Elgin, Texas. Today is the New Moon Sabbath. It's Abib 1, 2027. It's March the 22nd, 2023. We're going to start a service, our main service, with a song, and then we're going to have a Blessed Redeemer. Up Calvary's mountain, on dreadful morn, walk after my Savior, weary and worn, facing for sinners, death on the cross, that he might save them from endless long. Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer, since now I see them on Calvary's tree, wounded and bleeding, for sinners pleading, blind and unhating, dying for them. Father, forgive them, thus did he pray. Even for his life, Lord, fled fast away. Praying for sinners, all in such woe, no one but Yahshua ever loved so. Blessed Redeemer, blessed Redeemer, since now I see him on Calvary's tree, wounded and bleeding, for sinners pleading, blind and unheeding, dying for them. Oh, how I love him, Savior and friend. How can my praises ever find end? Weary is unnumbered on heaven's shore. My tongue shall praise him forevermore. Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer, since now I see him on Calvary's tree, wounded and bleeding, for sinners pleading, one and unheeding, dying for them.
Now let's go into our service. It says a world government, and the only people who will not bow down to it. That's the title of our sermon. That's Time of Greetings, Volume 2, Number 17. And it says that Revelation 13, 1 to 10. And I stood upon the side of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns. And upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his head the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his beasts, as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wandered after the beast. And he worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And he worshipped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemy. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. Now we need to pay attention to that 42 months. And he opened his mouth in the blasphemy against Yahweh, and to blaspheme his name, and his tabernacle, and them that dwell in the heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints, and to overcome them. And power was given him over all the kindreds and tongues and nations, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear what the he that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity, and he that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. And here is the patience of the saints. Here's the patience and the faith of the saints. When it says faith, it always says, you add the rest of it, faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua for redemption, for salvation, for blotting out of sins. We have here read of the description of one of the beast, but the remaining verses bring to our attention another beast, Revelation 13:11-14. And I beheld another beast come up out of the earth, which is the United States, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exercised all the power of the first beast before him, and causes the earth and them which dwell therein for the worshiping of the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. Okay, it says, and he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh a fire come down from the heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying unto them that dwell on the earth, that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by a sword and did live. For the second beast arises not from the sea, but from the earth. Now, for that first beast, rose up out of the sea, that leopard-like beast, a composite of the four. But the lamb-like beast, he comes up in the earth, the United States. And he makes an image, a likeness of the first beast. That is, he revives the governmental principles of the first beast. For the principles enforced before the first beast received his deadly wound, Revelation 13:15-18. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, for the receiving of a mark in their right hand or in their forehead, and that he might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number 603 score and six. For the Bible we see places the number 666 not on the first day, the leopard light, but on the second, the two-horned beast. For the description of the first beast ends in Revelation 13:10. And the description of the two-horned beast begins with the Revelation 13:11 and ends with the Revelation 13:18. An early denominational publication entitled A Word to the Little Flower and issued in the founders of the denomination also rightly places the number 666 on the two-horned beast. See pages 19 of A Word to the Little Flower. For the revelation being a complement act of the apostles, page 585 of the book of the Daniel, it is necessary that we touch a little on the Daniel, chapter 7 in the particular. For the little horn in the second phase of the Daniel's fourth beast shows a rise of the brutal tyrannical power, a power against the people of Yahweh. For the symbolization of the John's leopard-like beast of chapter 13, which is the continuation of the Daniel's fourth beast, tells what happened to that demon power. For the Daniel explains that the four beasts symbolize four world empires, one following the other, and it has long been widely understood that they are Babylon, Medo-Persia, Grecia, and Rome. Note that John's the leopard-like beast, has the head of a lion. First beast, the feet of a bear, second beast, the body of a leopard, the third beast, and ten horns, fourth beast. And so you see the leopard-like beast is a composite beast of the Daniel's four beasts, a descendant of them. It must therefore represent the world after the fall of the fourth empire, after pagan Rome. Moreover, the ten crownless horns of Daniel's fourth beast, being symbolical of the kings that were to arise out of the Roman Empire, for the crowns on the leopard-like beast shows that the beast represents the period in which the kings took their crowns, the period after the disintegration, integration of the pagan Roman Empire. Still further, the leopard-like beast blasphemed Yahweh and his tabernacle. In other words, they wrote a new Bible, called the Catholic Bible, and they changed the wording of the King James Bible. That's blasphemy. And then they put their own private interpretation on Scripture that required only inspiration. That's what you call blasphemy. Okay, this says, and his tabernacle just as long as did Daniel's fourth beast, in his second phase, ecclesiastical Rome, that is a time and times and the divide of time, 3 years and 6 months, 42 months, plain it is then that the leopard-like beast reigned contemporaneously with the nondescript beast in his second phase, the phase that was, and that was during 1260 years, from 538 A.D. to 1798, the leopard-like beast of Revelation 13, the camp out of sea, and that little horn on that beast, that was a second phase of that fourth beast of Daniel's vision that represented the papacy from 1260 years, as I said. Okay. It says that the leopard-like beast reigned contemporaneously for 1260 years from 538 to 1798 with the nondescript beast in his second phase, the phase of the little horn head. I should have said in the phase of the little horn head. They left out the preposition. For the deadly wound on the leopard like, therefore, represents the deadly blow which it received from the Protestant Reformation. Hence, its wounded head represents the horned head power, an organ, an amalgamation of the civil and religious powers of the Daniel beast divested of his civil power, dehorned. Now, since the horns of the John's beast symbolize the nation, and his wounded head symbolizes a religious organization divorced from a civil power, and since his seven heads are all alike, save for the wound on the one of them, it becomes obvious that the beast, seven in number, portray the religious body, Christendom, in its entirety, meaning in its entirety from the time that the Apostolic Church in the first century got their name changed to Christian at Antioch. That's where they first got it changed, because they was backsliding and they was amalgamating with the Roman, that beast power of pagan Rome. So that's the reason why they had to change their name from apostolic to Christian. Because Catholics and apostolics were mingling together now, joining together, and they were corrupting the pure doctrine of the apostles, of the sanctuary system, and the full operation. And they went the Catholic, the false Catholic doctrine, that eventually being up totally as a Trinity doctrine, three in one person of the Godhead, and that's all they teach now worldwide. And make all Protestant churches teach the same thing. Okay. Both horns and heads, therefore, represent the world of today, just as each of Daniel's four beasts respectively represents the world and their day. Well, the horns and heads all been on the beast at the same time, not coming up one after another, or in a manner falling off as the horns in the Daniel chapter 7 and 8 should forever convince every rational mind that the horns and heads symbolize civil and religious bodies, all existing at the same time, not one following the other. For the blessing being over the heads, not over the horns, denotes that the religious bodies portrayed therein do not worship Yahweh according unto the truth, that they are not wholly what they profess to be. For the, and the Seventh-day Adventist is that seventh head on that body of heads. For the exact interpretation that inspiration places on the word blasphemy is this: I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not. Revelation 2:9. It is better for all of us to acknowledge our failures than to evade the truth, for it is the truth that shall make us free. Moreover, since we admit that the Reformation inflicted the deadly blow and brought forth the Protestantism, and since the inspiration says the wound was healed, all these prove something which, if we confess, may save our jeopardized lives and make us as great as did the wholehearted confessions anciently make David great. What is it that we have to confess just this. If Protestantism wounded the beast by the Reformation, then the healing of the wound shows nothing less than that the Reformation has failed to keep the wound open, that the goal of the reformers has died, and despotism has been revived. Indeed, this symbolism is saying nothing more than what the message to the latter sins is saying. Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increaseth the goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art rich, wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich in the white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with the eye salve, that thou mayest see. Revelation 3:17-18. For one to be in such a deplorable condition, and at the same time to contend that he has need of nothing, is indeed a blasphemy. Unlike the first beast, the second beast comes from the earth, the sea, and the earth obviously points to two different locations. We know that the beast of Daniel 7 and the leopard like of Revelation 13, the beast that arose from the sea, all originated in the old country. The lands where humanity originated. Yes, the sea befittingly symbolized the old country, because the sea is the storehouse of the waters. The place where the waters originate as the old country is the place from where humanity spread out. For the earth then points unto a place away from the sea, and the opposite of what the sea stands for, a country made up of the inhabitants who have emigrated from elsewhere. For the only such country or nation away from the old country, and as influential as portrayed in this two-horned beast that arises after the formation of the leopard-like beast in the Protestant period, that would be from 1798 until now in the United States. Moreover, the United States is already a world power, and so we need not be guessing anymore, for the beast's two-horned point to its two political ruling powers, Democrat and Republican. Their lamb-like character gives the appearance of innocence, harmlessness, and charitability. The beast speaking like a dragon, nevertheless, repudiates the lamb like appearance of the horns. For the two-horned beast exercised all the power which the first beast, the leopard-like, exercised, again showing it to be a world power. Indeed, it requires just such a power to compel all the inhabitants of the earth to worship as he commands, and to implement a likeness of a church and state government that is as outdated as are the Middle Ages themselves. Yes, it written in the Lamb's Book of Life, to bow down to it. Yes, it is. It takes such a power to influence the world. Save those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of the Life to bow down unto it. Revelation 13:13-15. And he doeth great wonders so that he maketh fire come down from the heaven on the earth in the sight of the men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying unto them that dwell on the earth, that they should make an image of the beast, which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and call, that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Here you see that this unification of the world engineered to bring peace and harmony out of the present chaos will instead bring on even greater time of trouble. And why? Because though the beast may bring communism and capitalism to the mutual agreement and cause them to bow down to the image of the beast, yet those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life will never comply. From this you see that the whole plan is directed by a supernatural power whose aim is to boycott the people of the Yahweh. They shall nevertheless be delivered. When the beast decree is passed that no one can buy or sell, and should be killed for nonconformity, then Yahweh only can protect his people, the people whose names are written in the book of such. This is faithful promise. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even at that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book, Daniel 12:1. Revelation 13:16-17. And he caused all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. For this power, you see, is to comfort the world's markets too. It says, this symbolic forecast of the world government to be set up plainly points out that the coming world government is to be neither the UN nor communism, but an ecclesiastical power. We know that it is not the communion, because communism is against the religion, and the beast is for it. When this comes to pass, which is no longer beyond the horizon, then those whose names are written in the book of life shall be delivered, and all others will have received the mark of the beast. There will be no middle ground or middle class. We should now decide what to do so that we will not be caught off guard. For this very cause, the light of the truth has come to us now. For the world government, which is to develop from the League of the Nations, and the United Nations. Okay, let's try this again. For the world government that is for the developing from the League of the Nations and of the United Nations is not actually to be absolutely universal, and there are still to be two worlds, but rather than there being capitalism and communism, there are to be those who worship the beast and his image, and those who worship Yahweh and have their names written in the book. The latter are the only people who will not bow down unto the future world government. Okay. How blessed are they who always keep the pure and perfect way, who never from the sacred path of Yahweh's commandment stray. How blessed who to his righteous laws have still obedient been, and have with the fervent, humble zeal his favor sought to win. Thou strictly hast enjoined us, Yah, to learn thy sacred will, and all our diligent employ thy statutes to fulfill. Oh, then, that thy most holy will might o'er my ways preside, and I the course of all my life by thy direction guide. That's the end of timely greeting. World Government, number 17. Two timely greeting, number 17. So two timely greetings, number 18. We shall continue in that. It says, this address is given December 13, 1947, V.T. Holler. And the title of this sermon is The Final World Government, Communistic or Capitalistic, Which? Okay. Well, the thing is, what the V.T. Holler didn't know when he wrote this back in 1947, that communism and capitalism is one and the same thing. And he did, but they have educated the people of the world to believe that communism is democracy, means that it's a free government, and it's a two-party system, Democratic and Republican, but it's a democracy. Because capitalism and communism goes together, democracy and republicanism goes together. So I'm going to teach you that, because communism today, they could not even have a communist nation or any world power at all without engaging in the capitalism. Okay. This is, our sermon begins with Revelation 17, 1 to 3. And there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, and I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon the many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed the fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon the scarlet colored beast, full of the names of the blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. This beast is seen for the portraying of the world and its day, as are all the beasts of the Daniel and the Revelation seen for the portraying of the world and their day. For the wilderness being opposite of the vineyard denotes that the beast domain is not in the promised land, not in the vineyard, Isaiah 5:7. But in the lands of the Gentiles, the wilderness from his domain, therefore, is excluded the Holy Land. And by the fact that the woman is sitting on the beast, driving it, is positively shown that she is ruling it. And so this woman represents the Catholic Church, Mr. Bowler, and the beast represents the New World Order, the world, the globalist. Okay, and so she's ruling all the governments of the world, communist and democratic and so forth. And that the beast itself is a symbol of the dominion of the Babylon the Great. So the beast is the dominion where Babylon the Great rules. The beast's 10 horns portray civil power, as do the horns of any symbolic beast. And if the wounded head of the leopard-like beast of the chapter 13 is symbolical of a religious organization, as is taught by the denomination, then his seven heads must likewise be figurative of the religious bodies. Thus it is that this beast in its entirety, like all the other such beasts of the Bible, symbolizes the Gentile world in its entirety, civil and religious bodies, are horns and heads. For the blasphemy is for one to speak lightly of Yahweh, to work hypocrisy, to profess to be something other than what one actually is. For the inspiration's definition is this: I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of the Satan. Revelation 17:46. And the woman was arrayed in the purple and scarlet colors, and decked with the gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of the abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was the name written, Mystery Babylon, the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. So this mystery of Babylon is nothing but the Catholic Church. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of the Yeshua. And when I saw her, I wondered with the great admiration. For this woman does not symbolize something new, as something as old as the time of the martyrs. For she is the cause of their slaying. What could she be but a counterfeit religion which originated with Cain's inescapable, unacceptable sacrifice? Since then, she has brought forth sectarianism, has become a mother of harlots. Her abominations, you know, are made very attractive, being that dispensed from a golden cup held in the hands that are gorgeously decked with the costliest things of the earth. Revelation 17:7-13. And the angel said unto me, Wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carries her, which hath the seven heads and 10 horns. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit, and go into the perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder whose names were not written in the book of the life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not, and yet is, and here is the mind which hath wisdom. For the seven heads are the seven mountains on which the woman sitteth, and there are seven kings, five are fallen, and one is, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth, and is of the seven, and goeth into perdition. So that's where his destination was. The last beast that showed up, he went straight into perdition after he got organized. Took charge of the woman, and he took that of the Catholic Church. He took charge of the ten horns, which was all your communist nations of the world. And where did he head with them? Right into hell. He just headed right straight into perdition. He didn't have nowhere else to go. And the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings which have received no kingdom as yet, but received power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind, and shall give their power and strength unto. Here is a beast whose makeup is similar unto that of the leopard-like beast of chapter 13. The horns of this scarlet-colored beast, though, are crownless, and none of his heads are wounded. Also, rather than having the name of blasphemy written only over his head, his whole body is full of the names of blasphemies. In the previous studies, we learned that the leopard-like beast symbolizes the world from the fall of pagan Rome unto our time. That's found in Biology Watch comment, Great Controversy, page 442. Now, since the scarlet-colored beast also has ten horns and seven heads, it is again seen that he, too, is in the stream of the time as a symbol of the world with its civil and religious power. Horns and head. Okay, inasmuch as his head is not wounded, as is the head of the leopard-like beast, and since the wound of the leopard-like is healed, it is clear that the scarlet-colored beast represents the world in the time that the wound is healed, and the time that the two-horned beast, Revelation 13, 11 to 18, makes this likeness of the leopard-like beast in its pre-wounded state. You notice that the horns of the Daniel's fourth beast were crownless, and the horns of the John's leopard-like beast were crowned. And again, that the horns of the scarlet-colored beast are crownless for the inspiration. That's in Revelation 17. Here in the 12th parabolic hour, now Daniel's beast that he saw was in the 3rd parabolic hour. That 4th beast that he saw was in the 3rd parabolic hour. Oh, no. It was in the 2nd parabolic hour. Whereas the scarlet-colored beast is in the 12th parabolic hour. He's the last extension of that beast of Daniel's, that fourth beast of Daniel's. The scarlet-colored beast is the last extension of him. Okay, it says then, the fact that nearly all crowned kings of the world have already been dethroned is proof in itself that period number 2, the period of the leopard-like beast, crowned horns, is about to pass away, and that period, number 3, appeared of the scarlet colored beast, Cronus horn, is about to be ushered in. In order to make the transition, the present distress of the nations is therefore inevitable. Revelation 17:14-18. These make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is the King of kings and the Sovereign of sovereigns. And they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. And he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. And the ten horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. For Yahweh hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of the Yahweh shall be fulfilled. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. Again, the fact that the ten horns, kings, have one mind, unlike the toe kings of the Daniel 2:42-43, but have no kingdom of their own, besides the fact that the woman rules the beast, and also the fact that the communist leaders crown us a king of the nations and have one work together for one common cause. All these facts show that though communism appears to be the next power to rule the world, this symbolical prophecy points out that the world will next be ruled by an international religious system, by Babylon the Great as a rival of the religion of the Yeshua, and a counterfeit of a woman in the Revelation chapter 12. For the scarlet colored beast, therefore, is the symbol of the world government into which the United Nations will finally evolve. Since those who have no part in the first resurrection, all the unrepentant sinners from the beginning of the world to the millerism, to the millennium, are to be resurrected after 1,000 years. They will then positively discover that their names were not written in the book of the life, no, not one of them, even from the foundation of the world, for the truth thus stands out clearly that then only will they behold the beast in his three faces, that was, and is not, and yet is, that is, he was before the millennium, and is not during the millennium, and yet is after the millennium. So that's the beast we're in right now. For the, he is not during the 1,000 years, because at the commencement of the 1,000 years, the beast and the false prophet are cast into the lake of fire. Okay. The beast and the false prophet are cast into the lake of fire. Then the remnant, all the rest, who came not out of the Babylon's domain, are slain with the sword of the King of Kings, and Yeshua, Lord of Lords, Revelation 19:21-16. To summarize, having lived before the millennium, and also after the millennium, and being dead during the millennium, the beast is seen in three phases. and three periods. The premillennial, in which he was, the millennial, in which he is not, and postmillennial, in which he is. He shall descend out of the bottomless pit, out of the pit in which Satan himself is to be bound for 1,000 years.
Right.
And then goes into perdition. Revelation 17:8. That is, he will shortly be put to his second death, from which there is no resurrection. Here he is the eighth, and is of the seven. That is, there are four beasts in Daniel 2, two in Revelation 13, and one in chapter 17. Seven beasts in all. But the seventh lives twice, and thus after his resurrection he is the eighth, that is of the seven. Then he goes into the perdition, suffers the second death, the statement, and there are seven kings, shows that these kings are not in the symbolism, that is, they are not the horns, nor are they the heads. All the horns and the heads all present on the beast, whereas the seven kings are not there symbolized. Five are fallen, one is, and the other is yet to come. For we must fully realize that Yahweh, through this symbolism, summarizes the history of the entire world for the beast. As one said before, is symbolical not only of the premillennial world, but also of the postmillennial wicked world. For the seven kings of the kingdom from the foundation of the world before the flood, number one, the ancient world before the flood, number two, the ancient Babylonian Empire, number three, the Medo-Persian Empire, number four, the Grecian Empire, and number five, the Roman Empire. These are fallen. Number six, the one that is a world under which the present distress of nations is to give birth, the premillennial, and of which the beast itself in his first phase is the symbol. And number seven, the one that is to come, is the world after the 1,000 years. Okay. Now, that Vitale's got that wrong. He's got that. The one that is to come is after the 1,000 years. That would be the eighth beast. He would be called number eight. Because the number seven is the scarlet colored beast that rules this 12th parabolic hour. Mm-hmm. And he comes to his end. Mm-hmm. He's cast into that lake of fire, Revelation 19:21, before the end of this world. And then he's resurrected at the end of the millennium to come forth as the eighth one. And of the seven. Thus, along with this symbolism, the world of sin is represented from this beginning unto its very end. For this beast, therefore, is a symbolical summary of the whole world. The 1 hour is obviously the time, which is the 12th hour that we're in right now. And Vitihalif, he makes the mistake of calling it the 11th. He said the time from the 11th to the 12th. Well, he's saying there's a time period between the 11th and the 12th. A time period between when the 11th ends and when the 12th begins. This is wrong. For the 1 hour period is your last parabolic hour, and it's called number 12. It's obviously the time that the allegorical hours are as set forth in the Matthew 20 verse 6. And that's your 12th hour. But Matthew 20 verse 6 is at the end of the 11th hour. I know it says that, but that last hour is a 12th hour. Because Yeshua said in John 11:9 to the disciples, are there not 12 hours in a day? Work while you have the light. You got to give the 12th hour the same amount of time as you give all the 11 hours before it. And that's 60 minutes to the hour, allegorically. All right, he says, number 10, in this instance, as elsewhere in the Bible, carries meaning of the universality. The ten kings have no kingdom while the woman drives, and that's the Catholic Church, drives the New World Order, the global. But jointly with the beast, they will have power as king. The phrase as yet implies that after the 1 hour, they will receive their kingdom after the 1 hour. Well, that 1 hour is your 12th hour. Revelation 17:14. They shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is the sovereign of sovereigns and the king of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. For these kings are to be the anti-religious and therefore anti-Christian. They shall eventually make war with the Lamb and with his called, chosen, and faithful one. But the Lamb shall overcome the kings. For the woman, as shown before, is a symbol of a confederated religious system with which the horns are not only in disagreement, but are also her enemies. Consequently, after the symbolical hour has passed, they unseat her from the beast, make her desolate, and burn her with the fire. Then it is that they receive their kingdom for a season and time, Daniel 7:12. Revelation 17:17. For Yahweh hath put in their hearts for the fulfillment of his will, and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of Yahweh shall be fulfilled. The call to come out of Babylon, Revelation 18:4, is a call unto Yahweh's people to come out of her geographic dominion. For the 18th chapter is a continuation of the 17th. And so we shall study it also. Revelation 18:1. And after these things I saw another angel come down from the heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And after what things? After the scarlet colored beast comes into being, and while the woman Babylon, the Catholic Church, is sitting upon the beast, the New World Order, the Illuminati, globalist, it is then that the earth is to be lightened with the glory of the angel with the message of the hour. Revelation 18:2-4, and he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen and has become the habitation of the devil and the hold of every foul spirit and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacy. And I heard another voice from the heavens saying, come out of her, my people, that she be not partakers of her sin, that she receive not of her plague. This brings in verse 30 of our contact just at the 11th hour. Call on us, number 11. Click on our audio archive. We're going to close now with a song. I come to the garden alone. Father, who is still on the roses, and the forests are here falling on my head. The sound, yeah, is closing, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and
joy we share as we tarry there. Not here is it there, no. He speaks and the sound of his voice is all sweet, the birds hush to sing. The melody that he gave to me with half my heart is ringing. And he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. I stay in the garden with them, though the night around me be falling. Will your destiny go through the voice of woe? His voice to me is calling. And he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other